Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country. Live from Ontario and heard around the world. Welcome to In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told. Spend some time in the country, now it's time we start the show.
It's Ontario Blog.
I'm joined on the show today by John Abrams. He, along with his brother James and cousin Elijah, make up the Abrams Brothers. Their latest radio release is called Northern Redemption. Let's make welcome John Abrams. Hey, John.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hey, doing just great. How are you this evening?
Good, good. I'm just we're actually just headed out to our grandparents' place, and we're going to go out there and actually have a hot dog roast right now, and probably play a few tunes, kind of do our usual thing that the Abrams family does. So you caught me at probably in a very opportune time, considering what we do on the road and what we've been doing on the road for the past 11 years.
Yeah, that's perfect. So it sounds like tonight is one of those nights to kick back a bit. And as we've talked before, whenever you get together with your grandparents and family, there's a lot of music involved.
Exactly. There's always lots of music, and there probably will be tonight. But we have grown up playing music with our family ever since we were little kids. And James and I were 6 and 8, respectively, when we started playing violin. And, of course, soon after we started his classical violin, we started to get into fiddle tunes and singing together. And considering our grandparents and our father at the time were doing stuff in a band together, we certainly started hanging out on the sidelines and taking part in that. And we're actually the fourth generation doing this. And I know we've talked about that before, but just to kind of give a recap, sure.
Definitely. That is amazing. Now, I was doing some reading online, and I know some of your influences, but one of them in particular is Gordon Lightfoot, a Canadian icon. We all know his music. Tell us about the influence of Gordon Lightfoot on the music for the Abrams Brothers.
Well, I think, you know, Gordon Lightfoot, as a songwriter particularly, had an influence on us, especially with our new record, Northern Redemption. And I think mostly in the way that, you know, Gordon Lightfoot, you know, Lightfoot constantly writes about Canadian landscapes and really just kind of paints a real picture of Canadiana very vividly in his songs. And I think that's what we were really trying to attempt, certainly in most of our songs, or at least it was just naturally happening when we were writing, because we were writing the songs either out at our farm or on Wolf Island where we were recording the record. And naturally the landscapes we're surrounded with here just seep into the writing, so that's really where Gordon Lightfoot's influence comes. And of course, he's just an incredible songwriter. I mean, there's no way you can't be influenced by Gordon Lightfoot if you're a Canadian songwriter. So,
definitely. Do you have a favorite song yourself, John, of Gordon's that you like to sing, or that you just like to listen to his version of?
Well, we grew up singing a really great song called Cold in the Shoulder, and it's a more obscure Gordon Lightfoot song, but it's one that was covered by one of our bluegrass heroes, Tony Rice, and we, you know, we love that song. It's really great, got a great vibe. But I really love If You Could Read My Mind. I mean, I know James probably agrees. It's just that song gives me chills every time it comes on the radio. So.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. Now, your sound, of course, has been described, and it is bluegrass, country, and rock folk, all those things together. Do you have a name, like a label? And not everybody wants to or can put a label on music, but how would you describe the sound of the Abrams Brothers?
I think it's probably best described as bluegrass rock, and because that kind of works with country, it works with folk, it works with kind of a number of different styles. But really, I mean, we're attempting to create Abrams Brothers music, essentially, with our new record, and since we're on tour throughout the U.S. and Canada this year, you know, it's kind of our own sound. But yeah, bluegrass rock is probably a good descriptor. So you're pretty much on the money with your description, Dave. And we're certainly influenced by a lot of different stuff. So it just comes into play whenever we're recording or performing.
Yeah, and one of those influences, when people hear bluegrass rock, might not think of Coldplay, but of course, a lot of our listeners will know the cover song you did from Coldplay a few years back. There was a video that got airplay on CMT, so it got you a lot of notice. So obviously, you guys have influences, as you said, from all over the place.
Definitely. I mean, we grew up listening to bluegrass music with our family, and we grew up singing a lot of bluegrass, gospel, old country music, and that's really where we got our roots, and we continue to. I mean, it's unavoidable if it's kind of in your blood, but at the same time, we have a crazy diversity of genres on our iPods. So, I mean, we sit there and listen to all kinds of different styles, and certainly Coldplay, personally for me, is one of my favorite bands, and So we thought it'd be kind of cool to do our own version of Viva La Vida, which was at the time when we recorded it a hit for them on the radio. And
right.
So to kind of it is a little bit incongruent, if you will, to do a bluegrass rock version of their song. But I think you know, the lyrics that they wrote are so, especially at the time before the recession, are very, very applicable to kind of. You know, the global situation, and so, you know, doing them in any style, I think, would work certainly. And sure. I don't know, maybe not polka, but you know, there's all kinds of adaptations. If it's a good song, it can probably live anywhere. So.
That's so true, and I mean, that song has those deep lyrics and tells a great story, so it certainly fit, and you put on your own unique spin. Any other songs that you guys do or are thinking about doing that are, say, outside the genre, but you're going to put that bluegrass rock spin on?
Well, on the new record, we did a song that was by a band in the 70s. They're kind of had a cult following. They're called Big Star, and they had a song called 13, and it's a little bit more of an obscure one, but it's a fantastic song. So we did that for the record. But yeah, we're always thinking about what songs we could do in a different way. I know one of Eli's ideas, Eli's our cousin who plays bassist, and Eli's idea is to do Bob O'Reilly by The Who in kind of a bluegrass rock version, which actually probably work. But, you know, there's all kinds of things we think about like that. But, you know, that I think just is you know, supplementary or complementary, I guess, to our songwriting, to try and, you know, inspire new songs and new ideas, that kind of creative process. So,
sure. And we'll talk more about the songwriting, but let's talk about some exciting news coming up very shortly, early next month. In fact, you guys are part of a new artist showcase at the CCMAs. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. We haven't been out at the CCMAs before, and we've been to Saskatoon, which should be a lot of fun to return there. But we're at the New Artist Showcase, the CCMAs, and I know there's a number of other great artists on the bill with us, so I've heard. And so we're really looking forward to being a part of that that scene and taking part in the CCMAs this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, great exposure there. Of course, some new people will get to hear your sound, and that's always a good thing. And you're also in the middle of a big tour going on now, Canada and throughout the States. How's that going so far, and any highlights up to this point?
Well, it's great, actually. We are doing a few dates in and around Canada in September before we go on tour. We're playing at Ottawa Folk Festival on September the 8th, on Saturday. It's at 3:30, and we're also playing downtown Toronto on the 21st with Tom Cochrane and a number of other artists. It's for the Canadian Walk of Fame. And so we're doing a number of things kind of in and around here in September, but then we head out at the end of September to head down toward California, and we're touring pretty much the Southwest until Christmas, and then we end up, before Christmas, we're over in the UK for a week. And then after Christmas, we head back out in January to Texas and make our way all over the U.S. until March. So it's going to be a really busy year. But you know, we've been doing it since we're little kids, we've always loved the prospect of being on the road and being busy on the road.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting and a lot of new experiences. Can you describe being on stage along with your brother and cousin and just the kind of excitement that comes with performing your songs in front of a crowd that really gets into it?
I don't want to sound cliche, but it's an incredibly hard thing to describe. But at the same time, It's the greatest feeling to be able to stand up there, you know, not just with a bunch of people that you really get along with and that you're great friends with, but that they're your family as well. And that's just a real blessing and something that we'll all be thankful for the rest of our lives. But to play songs that you've written in front of an audience, you know, I think it's probably what you'd call a platonic moment, you know, that moment where you just, you get a taste of it and then you spend the rest of your life constantly looking for those moments again. And sure. And that's kind of what it's like to be able to stand up there as a family and play for people, to have people singing your songs. There really is no feeling like it. And so really our return to that is just complete gratitude and thankfulness for our fans and for the people who have continued to be dedicated to our music over the years. They'll never know how much we appreciate them. So.
Now, when you perform, do you and the fellows tell stories about the songs, whether it's a cover song or a song you've written? Do you take the time to, you know, explain where the song came from or why you chose it?
Yeah, we storytelling is a good thing. I think we've certainly taken cues from Arlo Guthrie. He's very good at that. And Arlo, we've struck up a relationship with him over the years. He wrote the liner notes to our Blue on Brown record, which was a tribute to him and Bob Dylan. But just kind of you watch certain mentors and realize that people like stories before songs. So, yeah, when we're on stage, we try and, give backstories to the songs and kind of tell people what they're about and where they're inspired from. I think that's just part of the songwriting and song performing process.
Yeah, you had a chance to have Arlo Guthrie comment specifically on that album, Blue on Brown, the tribute album to Arlo and Bob Dylan, and he was quite impressed with your musicianship and the way you put the project together.
Well, you know, he was incredibly supportive, and you know, there have been specific mentors over the years that have been huge support, and certainly Arlo was no exception to that. The fact that he took the time to write the liner notes and make the compliments that he did. You know, just that's really when it comes down to it. Those moments are real encouragements for us to continue doing what we're doing. And, you know, if ever you feel like, what am I doing this for? Not that we really do, but if ever you feel like you're not, in the right place at the right time or something, you always feel when you hear stuff like that you're encouraged to continue, pursuing your passion for music and passion for art. So we're very thankful for his compliments.
I'm speaking with John Abrams of the Abrams Brothers and their website, theabramsbrothers.com. You can catch up on all their latest news, read blogs, and listen to samples of the music there. Let's turn to a song which is on your latest album, which is the title track called Northern Redemption. But this is cool because this is a remix of a version by a very famous producer in Canada who does a lot of country projects, Jason Berry. Tell us how you came up with that idea to have the song remixed by Jason.
Yeah, well, the whole creative process took place in Wolf Island with Chris Brown, who's our producer for the record, and we're very excited with the material that we came out with and on the record. And we also knew that if we're going to release certain songs to country radio, that there's kind of a country flair that we wanted to kind of add to that style of song that we had already created with Chris on the Island.
Sure.
So we had met Jason on tour with Dean Brody back in March, actually, and made friends with all the guys, Dean included. Jason is Dean's guitar player, and so we asked Jason if he'd kind of give it a listen and maybe do a country edit, if you will, for the radio.
Right.
And we're very very happy with it. You know, we've added some drums and a little bit of electric guitar. Jason's playing some electric guitar on there and doing a third part vocal, and we're very happy with the sound of the song.
Well, let's have a listen to the version of it now, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about the inspiration behind the song. These are the Abrams Brothers and Northern Redemption on In the Country.
Time I don't goodbye. I don't know why I failed to try, I failed to try. I don't know why I failed to try, I failed to try.
Brothers and Northern Redemption here on In the Country, and that is the title track to their current album, and that version remixed by Jason Berry specifically for country radio. It's got a great sound. What can you tell us about the songwriting behind it, John?
Well, James and I wrote the song together. We were sitting in the living room of our farm just in Joyceville, Ontario, we have a lot of forest behind our farm. And so I had brought kind of a melody to the table or whatever, and James and I just started writing. And I think just naturally we were looking out the window and just looking at this forest that we've grown up looking at since we were kids. And we started writing it really about kind of the loneliness of being, you know, in the middle of nowhere in the woods sort of thing. And there's certainly a lot more to that, kind of the reflection of someone's inner loneliness with kind of the outer loneliness of being, you can imagine a place in northern Canada. In fact, we were just up fishing last week in north of Cochrane, Ontario, on a lake we had to fly in by float plane, and it felt very Northern Redemption. So it's interesting, you know, that sense of solitude can bring about loneliness, but it also can bring about redemption and sort of a redeemed sense of self. So that's certainly what the song is about. And I think coming from both James and I, it's appropriate considering we've grown up in, you know, the Canadian, North Canadian country. So.
For sure. Yeah. It's something you've lived. Are there certain songs that you've written, obviously coming from a personal place? I mean, that definitely does, but other ones maybe that are almost cathartic for you and in turn for listeners? And have you had feedback from audience members, people who've heard a certain songs on the record, how much one of your songs has meant to them in their life?
I think songs affect people in different ways. Certainly it's, you know, a song that we've written will mean something to us. It'll mean something entirely different to somebody who's hearing it.
Right.
But that's the neat thing about songwriting, that if you can write a song openly enough, that it'll be accessible to people in many different ways. You know, I listen to a song like Amazing Grace, for instance, how do you ever measure any one Billboard hit against, you know, the amount of plays or times that song's been sang around the world for hundreds of years, you know, like those old hymns are like, you know, the biggest mega hits you can probably think of.
For sure.
And but you realize, oh, it's because it's not just a memorable melody, but something that's accessible, you know, a song that everybody can kind of relate to in their own way. So yeah, we get,
right.
you know, the odd person coming up after a show, especially I think with the ballads, kind of the slower stuff, that come up and say, you know, that song really meant something to me, and they'll explain what it meant. And I'll be thinking in the back of my head, or James will be thinking, wow, you know, that's amazing because it's completely different than how it affected us. But you
yeah.
know, that kind of stuff is the wonderful thing about the songwriting process and the art of songwriting itself.
Yeah, there's a certain magic to it. And as you said, I mean, songs like Amazing Grace, obviously a timeless song and just a legendary song. But when you've got one that isn't too specific with details in it, then the listener can put themselves into it and it can fit whatever situation they're in or different situations, because it's not so specific that it's, you know, something only the singer has gone through or specific to them.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think it's best not to underestimate your audience, I think, a lot of the time. I mean, you know, people will listen to something and it's not like it always needs to be handed to them on a silver platter. You know, it doesn't necessarily even have to be abstract either. You know, there's a fine line.
Right.
You can create something that is can be applicable to many different, you know, personal experiences or even personal backgrounds. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't have to be so literal. It can kind of be something that people can listen to and create on their own. It's I think the best songs are songs that are, you know, almost recreated every time they're performed. You know, and I think, you know, Gordon Lightfoot,
yeah.
we were talking about him earlier, is a good example of a songwriter that, you know, every time he sings a song, or, you know, every time you listen to it, it's almost like a song might have a different meaning, you know, week to week, you know, for,
sure.
for somebody who's going through whatever. So.
Yeah, yeah, depending on the situation you're in and how the song strikes you that day, definitely. Is there a song, John, that you can think of either that you sing yourself or the group that is a moving song? Like it's one of those songs that when you sing it, whether you've written it or it's a cover song, that really moves you?
Yeah, I really love when James sings Window. It's a song that is kind of, you know, he could probably explain this better, but you know, to me, when I hear it, it's a song that kind of, that strikes a chord of innocence in somebody. Like it's written from an innocent perspective, but at the same time, it approaches it in a way that's filled with so much experience. And that sounds abstract for me to explain, but if you listen to the lyrics of the song, it talks about kind of morning light and shining through a window pane on, you know, kind of a lover's face and sort of just simple observations, but that have so much meaning when it comes to, you know, being musicians on the road, you know, being away
right.
from loved ones, you know, looking back to those you love here, and kind of that, you know, that ultimate patience, if you will, from any relationship that one may have as a musician, you know, touring around the country or the world.
Now, how important is it, and obviously it's very important, but maybe you can explain in your words, to have a great team around you, obviously your family, brother and cousin in the group, but somebody like Debbie Wood, for example, who handles all the publicity for you. What is it like having her as part of your team?
Oh, you know, well, first of all, you know, Debbie is a good example, is an incredibly hard worker and an amazing person. And, you know, we really try and surround ourselves with people who are dedicated to our music, and they believe in our music, you know, for what it is. And that really, I think, at the heart of what we do is really important for us as a family. You know, we are really our own kind of record company, if you will. We're kind of our own, you know, family business. It's no different than, you know, a small town family business. You know, you think about it the same way. And so we
sure.
surround ourselves with people we trust and people that work hard for us. And, you know, absolutely having a good team around you that believes in what you do is crucial. And so we do. And we're very happy to say that we have a great team surrounding us. We have great management out of New York, United for Opportunity. And we have
right.
great agents, the agency group in Canada and the U.S. And we're just, you know, we're very thankful for all their hard work.
That's awesome, and it's so important to have that team around you that to support and get your name out there. And it's so great also that you guys aren't looking to, I mean, you're looking to obviously to have success, and you do, but you're sticking with your own sound, the sound you grew up on, and you're not trying to be strictly commercial. You just want to do the sound that comes naturally to you.
Well, I think, you know, there's a certain, integrity in continuing to nod at what, you know, you grew up with. Certainly our roots
right.
are a very important thing in what we do. But there's always kind of a, you know, we were talking about an accessibility thing that you have to play. You know, there's sometimes a game that you have to play, but as long as you maintain, the integrity of your music, the integrity of your art in what you're doing, and that you go home at the end of the day happy with the songs you're writing, happy with the songs that you record, then that's really what it's all about. So for us, we play the music that we love, and we're happy that people have been accepting it so openly.
I'm speaking with John Abrams of the Abrams Brothers, their latest album called Northern Redemption, which is also the title track, radio release out now. Their website, theabramsbrothers.com. And as we get set to wrap up things in just about 3 minutes or so, you guys were the youngest group, I understand, to appear on the Grand Ole Opry. This was back in 2005, so I think you guys were like in your mid-teens. Can you describe that experience?
Well, we're the youngest Canadians, I know that,
okay.
But to play on the Grand Ole Opry, we're 12 and 15, respectively. James and I were
wow.
12 and 15. And that can probably be best described as the shortest time and the longest time of our lives all at the same time.
Right.
You know, it's that the one thing I remember is that kind of time just left us for about 4 minutes. And but just standing on that stage, and I made sure I put my left foot in the center of the stage where they have the circle cut out of the old Ryman Auditorium, where me and Hank Williams
yeah.
and Johnny Cash and Bill Monroe have stood, for instance, and Patsy Cline greats like that. But we were on stage with Mike Snyder and his string band, and just a quick little story, we were backstage
sure.
at the Opry and jamming, warming up for the show, and we were all ready to go, but we started... All of a sudden, the band started walking out toward the stage. We didn't really hear much about what was going on, so we just kind of followed them. Figured it was smart to do that. And of course, we got out to the stage, and literally 2 feet before we walked on stage, I tapped the mandolin player on the back of the shoulder, and I said, "Just to check, this is sound check, right? We're heading out for just to check our mics and stuff at rehearsal." And he said, "No, boys, this is it. This is the show." And literally two seconds later, we're on stage. And right there in front of 4,500 people, and of course the everybody watching on TV. So we when people ask us, did you guys get nervous before the Grand Ole Opry? I always say, well, we never got a chance to get nervous.
Never.
So, it was it. But an amazing memory. We'll never forget it, and we're very thankful for the opportunity.
That is so amazing. What a great experience to be on the Grand Ole Opry and at that age, at any age. That's a wonderful story. My guest today has been John Abrams. We've been talking about Northern Redemption, the new radio release, remixed by Jason Berry, specifically for Country Radio. They're going to be part of the New Artist Showcase at the CCMAs this year in early September. They're currently touring Canada and the U.S. John, been such a pleasure having you back on the show. You've been on before, and it's always great to hear the latest stories and, of course, to listen to the music.
Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate your support. We all do.
It has been my pleasure. Once again, my guest, John Abrams of the Abrams Brothers. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.